This morning, if you can't tell, we're talking about going to war, being in the fight, being in the battle, be amongst that what is going on that Christ has called us to. When I was in Guatemala, the Lord spoke to me a lot about this subject, about war, about battle, about fighting. You know, I'm the type of person that I like to de-escalate and not necessarily shy away, but let's not get to the fight. Let's not get to the interaction. Let's not get into the altercation. Let's calm it down, chill it out, and let's work through it, right? And in some situations, that is appropriate and that is the case. But in many situations, it is not appropriate. It's not the case. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls us to the fight. The Bible calls us to the war. The Bible calls us to run face first, head first, chest first into battle. And that's something I had to wrestle with myself, because it's also the Bible talks about peace. And I'm all about peace. I'm all about being peaceful and being a peaceful person, loving person. But the issue is peace and love don't necessarily contradict the fight. As a matter of fact, peace and love go along with the fight. Whenever Jesus came, he didn't just come for no reason. He didn't come to end and cease all wars and fighting on the earth. As a matter of fact, he came quite the opposite. He brought a fight with him when he came. We'll get into that here in just a minute. But that song, War, has been on my heart for a while, especially thinking about this subject. I've gotten into what I've coined, what I like to call, maybe I didn't come up with it, but it's called weaponized worship. What I mean by that is, it's praising and worshiping God, obviously, but it's also, a shot at the evil one. So the songs that kind of come with that kind of energy have been songs that have been in my heart and have been songs that have really spoken to me. That song, War, is one of them. Of course, it goes into that, that spontaneous worship of Lace Up Your Boots is another one that's calling us to the fight. There's one, though, that really stuck out to me, and it's one I hope the praise team will put into the rotation. And the tagline is, "The devil can't have me or my family." This is an eviction notice to the enemy. And the question is why? Because the chain breaker's in the room, and there's no telling what he's going to do. I heard that song and that spoke straight to my heart, especially as a husband, a father, and a pastor, preacher, bringer of the gospel. The devil can't have me or my family. So go ahead and forget that. Go ahead and get that idea out of your mind, evil one. This is your eviction notice. It's your chance to get up out of this fight because you don't want it. Trust me, you don't want it. This is your chance to get up out of here. But if you do stick around, just know that the chain breaker is in the room. And there's no telling what he is going to do. I explain like this. I liken God, obviously, they say to a lion or to some other kind of fierce animal. It's like you have this pet animal. I'm not calling God a pet. Just follow me on this, though. It's like you have this pet animal. And it all of a sudden, this animal gets loose. And once this animal is loose, you can't tame it. Now, this animal is never going to harm you because it's your pet, your animal. But everybody else better watch out. You say, hey, dog's loose, you better run. I don't know what to tell you. That's kind of the way God works. Let the lion out of the cage. And once he's out of the cage, I'm not responsible for what the chain breaker does. But he's going to do something. Just know that he's going to do something. And when he does it, I'm going to praise him for it. I'm going to step back and let him do his thing. I tell people all the time, it's kind of like with my wife. She's a pit bull. And I say, you want to deal with me first, because if I should get, you get past me, I'm not responsible for what she does to you, okay? And I'm telling you right now, I cannot rein her back in. But as a matter of fact, I'm not going to. You asked for this. You wanted this. Wrestle with the pit bull. Oh, no, don't come. Don't ask me to help you now. Don't want to deal with me now. Remember, you don't want to deal with me. You want to deal with me? You can deal with my father. I'm telling you right now, I'm trying to help you out. But once I open this cage up, there's no telling what the chain breaker is going to do. But let's get into this war. Now that we got to that point, I want to show you this video. This video is from a movie called Central Intelligence. It's a movie about Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character and Kevin Hart's character. They go to high school together, and there's high school reunions come back up, and they're kind of reconnected. And they find, he finds out that Bob Stone, who is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, is a CIA agent, actually. And they get to this moment where the people are coming for Bob Stone, and he and him and Jet have this interaction. Let's watch it real quick.
I'm gonna need your tie.
You can no.
Your necktie, take it off.
No, I'm not taking my tie
off. Come on, Jet.
Don't do that.
Save it. Ah, oh, save it, Jet. What?
Fine, take it. Take it.
Just right over
you
here.
You can have it.
Okay,
right that. Listen to me. Listen. Stop. I need to know what is happening right now.
Okay. You know what? Moving too fast. Bottom line, are you in or are you out?
What are you talking? In or out of what?
No time for questions. Just action. In or out.
Okay, well, then I'm out.
I'm sorry, Jet. Actually, you're already in.
Okay, then why would you ask me?
Because I thought you would go, I'm in, Bob. And we would have had a really cool moment, but you kind of ruined the whole thing.
Okay. Listen to me right now. Bob, I don't know what it is that you're into, but what I do know is that I am really, really 100% out.
All right. So, that's the conversation God has with us. Give me a necktie. No. You can't chop God. He's going to take your necktie. He's asking for it, but he's just give it to him, right? Just give him the necktie. I got a question for you. Are you in or are you out? God's asking you, are you in or are you out? You're like, in and out of what, Lord? That's not what I asked you. Are you in or are you out? You say, well, I'm out then. It's too late. You said, Lord, I give my life to you. So you're already in. You're in. Whether you want to be in this fight or not, you are in it. If you said, Jesus Christ, I'm riding with you wherever you go. My boots are laced up. My backpack is on. I am in the fight. So you have no option now but to fight. So if our only option is to fight now and go to war, how do we do it? We start by looking at Ephesians 6. If your Bible's with you, Ephesians 6. It says a passage I'm sure most of you and many of you know, talking about the armor of God. But there's more things in there besides the armor of God that tell us about the war, the battle, and the fight that we are in. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says this. Finally, which means there was stuff before that, but finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. For all of the Lord's people. Amen. The armor of God. The full armor. You can't just put on part of it. You got to put it all on and get ready for this battle. So there's a few things we have to do when we get ready for this war, and get ready for this battle. Like any other fight, there is this side and there's that side. And you have to decide which side you're going to be on. You have to decide which side you are taking place with. I don't know about you, but I can't stand losing. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I can't stand the most in this world. I'm very competitive, and so sometimes if I know I'm going to get overly competitive, I don't even do a game or a competition because I don't want to get to that point if I lose to where I get out of character. I have to stop myself. I've come a long way from where I used to be, and so if I think I'm going to do that, then I don't. But I will say, in this fight, I know for a fact the winning side. So obviously I hate losing so much. I'm going to choose that one, right? I'm going to choose a side that is victory. Now, there is the other side. there is an enemy. And this is where God really began to speak to me in Guatemala. Because, you know, if you don't know about Guatemala, we went there for a mission trip a couple months ago. It was fantastic, a great time. The Lord really moved and spoke to us, and we got a lot of great work done and got a lot of ministry done, and the kids and the adults alike did a great job. It's one of those things where we're in this place. It's a beautiful country. Though it's a third world country, more impoverished than America. It's a beautiful country. The people are great. They're very, very welcoming, accommodating, compassionate people. We got to do a lot of cool things that we didn't get to do here. So it's all this great stuff going on. But there was still quarreling and bickering amongst us, myself included. And I've been asking myself, how are you so ready to be combative? You know, I was ready to explode a couple of times. There's a couple of times I want to just go off and be like, you don't know what you're talking about, or why are you doing this? This is a waste of time. This is terrible to people that are on my team. These are people who are with me. And people who, for the most part, I get along with. So I'm like, what is going on? What's happening? And I was like, the issue is the enemy is not flesh and blood. The issue is the enemy is not flesh and blood. It is against the rulers and authorities and the evil spirits of the heavenly realms. And the issue is no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, unfortunately, those are amongst and in the midst of where you're at. And if you allow them to, they will creep into what you are doing, not only to what you're doing, but the people around you and yourself, and cause the quarreling amongst you. You know, me and my wife were going through a marriage small group. And one of the things it talks about is staying in your circle. You see, you don't fight with your spouse because you guys have issues or because you have situations. You fight with your spouse because you've forgotten to go to God with all that you have. You fight with your spouse, you guys get into it because you forget that I'm supposed to work on myself as a person growing towards God, and they work on themselves as a person growing towards God. We grow towards God, grow together, and we meet God right here in the center. But the issue is, I want it my way. It's my opinion. It's my feelings. It's what's done to me that was wrong and that matters, and I need my right way and my justice. And when we get that way, we allow the evil one in to win. And when the evil one gets in and causes dissension amongst us, I watched this spoken video word video one time, and it was talking about the fall of man. And it was talking about how the evil one creeped in like a serpent, and he caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin. And after it said all the things that God did, as he cursed the evil one, you know, you're going to crawl on your belly, you're going to eat dust for the rest of your life, all these things, and you know, Adam's going to crush your head. The evil one didn't even blink. At the end, it says, he just smiled. He smiled because he did exactly what he came to do, to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he did it by using God's own people because they forgot who the evil one was. They forgot who the evil one was. And that happens all the time. I've used this example before with the Avengers. The Avengers are on this big ship. It's impenetrable, and they're the Avengers of the world with all these superpowers. And as they're quarreling amongst themselves, they forget the enemy is in the midst. And the enemy attacks them when they're most vulnerable, arguing with each other, and they penetrate this impenetrable force. And they take the Avengers and scatter them amongst the earth. And now all of a sudden, they're weakened because they're no longer together, because they forgot that the enemy was not amongst them, but among them, inside of them, and they allowed him to infiltrate. So we have to remember who the enemy is in this war. It is not me. It is not you. It's not even those that we don't get along with. There are people in this life that, in our flesh, we don't get along with. They're still not the enemy. The enemy is the evil one. If we keep that the main thing, then the enemy cannot infiltrate and get past our defenses, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, I've come to learn that some of my favorite movies now are war-type movies, like the movie Troy. I enjoy that one. Wind Talkers is a good one. Things like that. I enjoy these movies because it's not necessarily about who has the biggest, strongest army with the most money and technology and all those things. It's more so about who has the better strategy and tactic. Yes, in Troy, Achilles was a great warrior and he was a mighty person, and the Trojans were fighting the Greeks, and they were able to infiltrate their wall, not because they stormed it or they were able to take it by force or their strength of their army or their army. They use a tactic called the Trojan horse, where they gave him this gift of a horse, waited for him to get drunk. They pulled the horse inside, and as they got drunk, they came out of the horse and they overthrew that society. A lot of times we think, oh, I have to be the biggest, strongest, bravest person to win this fight, to even be in this fight. That was not the case with David. David was a small shepherd boy who wasn't even a trained soldier. As a matter of fact, he didn't know how to swing a sword to save his life. He was the smallest, the runtiest child who had never even seen battle before. Goliath, the 9-foot seasoned giant soldier that nobody wanted to face, was calling out the Lord's army. He was calling them out. And David, knowing no better, said, I'll fight him. Because he did know better. He knew that it didn't matter how big this giant was. My God's bigger. I'm not going to tell you how big my problems are. I'm going to tell my problems how big my God is. If that giant wants to step into my face, I'm going to show him how big God is. That giant wants to fight this battle. Once again, the Bible says, if you think your arms are long enough to slap box, by all means, square off with the Lord. You'll be looking like old Jacob and Esau. Touch that hip, down for the count. But David stepped into the fight, not knowing any better. He said, are you guys crazy? What's wrong with y'all? We have the Lord on our side. This is nothing but a man. It says, this is nothing. Let's go do what we got to do. He goes, of course, and he slays Goliath. Now, the issue is, once again, that fight still, you have to remember who the enemy was. It was not the Philistines. It was the evil one. Because later on, as David becomes King David, he allows the evil one to creep in to his mind and to his life. And he succumbs to the enemy, unfortunately, having an affair with Bathsheba and then sending his friend Uriah to the front lines to die, to cover up the evil that he was doing. Keep the main thing the main thing. I think one of the best tactics that I can show you or describe in the Bible about what it looks like to develop a good strategy is in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Joshua is a leader of the Israelite army at this time. And the Lord is going to deliver Jericho into his hands. Not because the army is mighty, not because Joshua was a fierce and brave and awesome leader, though he was a good fighter. The Lord gave him the perfect tactic to breach the wall of Jericho. Not grappling hooks, not towers, no other weapon than this. Starting in verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, Have the whole army, give a loud shout, and the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. The tactic was worship. The strategy was praising God. Had nothing to do with strength, had nothing to do with any other weapon, but the praise from their lips and the obedience to keep the course of God that he called them to. March around this thing once per day for 6 days. If they'd done it twice, it wouldn't have worked. On the seventh day, with seven priests with horns blowing them in front of the ark, march around seven times. And on the seventh time, your army will let out a big shout and the walls will come crumbling down. That was a tactic, plan, and strategy. And it worked. And it worked. Because when we worship the Lord and are obedient to the Lord, the tactic and the strategy works in this thing we call war. You see, I come from a football background. And when we drop a football play on the offense, all 11 men have a job to do. And if all 11 people do their job to satisfaction with excellence, don't veer from the plan, that play is successful. But the moment one person decides their tactic is better than the other 10, that play is foiled. If the center should say, I'm going to do this instead of this, the play is foiled. If the quarterback should say, I'm just going to decide to pass instead of run, the play is foiled. But when we all do follow the play, the tactic and the plan, the play is successful. Likewise, in this thing called war, we all worship the Lord. We weaponize our worship. Walls come crumbling down. I think the best example I can think about of this, and Jocelyn was here. We did fall retreat with John 3:16 back in October. And when I tell you, it was a sweet time of worship with Megan and Tim and Evan and Natalie, who were here not too long ago leading worship. They're leading us in worship. And I forgot even what song it was, but I remember it was, I think we had maybe 50 students and then maybe another like seven adults. So like 60 people total, I think, all together. But the volume in that room and place was so loud. It reminded me, or it gave me an image of, this must have been what Jericho was like. It was so loud. And as that scream that came out, I don't know how it happened. Actually, I know how it happened because God. It was this unified like yell from the students and from the all those worshiping. And then all of a sudden, God was like, go pray for chains to be broken. And I went up front and I said, if you want prayer for your chains to be broken, come down here. And I tell you, it was a flood of students coming to get chains broken off of addiction, of anger, of abuse, of all these things that were happening. They came forward flooding, running, because the walls had crumbled down after the worship had happened. We went to war that day, and the chain breaker came into the room and broke chains off of people. That's what happens when we weaponize and follow the strategy and the tactic. That's what happens. That's what we do. So praise is our main weapon. But it's kind of like I told you before, God didn't come just so that we would have peace. Now, when he leaves in John 16:33, he said, I've told you these things so that in me you can't have peace. So yes, in him we do have peace. But if you flip back a few books to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says this, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Well, how can that be? Because the evil one lurks every single step and around every single corner. But he brought us something to fight with. He brought us a sword. No, not the samurai manufactured sword that you see with all the steel and all the iron and all those kind of things. No, he brought us a sword that cuts much deeper than any other physical sword could. He brought us a sword that is, as a matter of fact, the Bible says double-edged, right? Sharper than any double-edged sword. So sharp, in fact, that it cuts through the schemes and the plans of the evil one. So sharp, in fact, that it cuts straight to our hearts and allows cleansing of the body, the mind, and the soul. I know you've already guessed it and you already know it. This is the word of God. The Bible gives us the armor of God, but only gives us one weapon. Not a bow and arrow, not a crossbow, not a spear or a javelin, but a sword. A sword, because a sword says, I have to get up on you to battle you. I can't shoot you from afar with this arrow of the gospel. I can't hit you with a javelin from a few yards away. I got to step toe to toe with you, hand to hand. We got to go to war. We got to go to battle. But all I'm using is a sword. I got my breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart. My shield of faith to extinguish the arrows of the enemy. I got my helmet of salvation, so I'm good to go. My belt of truth makes sure I'm talking and speaking and all that God has given me. My shoes with the readiness and the peace of the gospel, I'm straight. But I'm swinging the sword all I got. Swinging the sword all I've got, and I'm letting it go to battle for me. I have a friend of mine, one of my best friends in the world. His name is Jonathan, and he used to work for this company called Cutco. If you know anything about Cutco, Cutco is kind of like one of those pyramid schemes, unfortunately, he fell into. But Cutco knives are actually really good knives. So good, in fact, they have demonstrations of what these knives and this cutlery can do. One thing they do is they take a penny with these scissors, and they cut the penny into a spiral with these scissors, how sharp they are, right? And they have this one knife, a chef's knife they use for cutting. And it's got a ball in the middle of the blade because they want you to hold it by the ball and allow the weight of the knife to do the cutting for you. See, when we try to cut ourselves sometimes using that our own pressure and our own weight, we can accidentally cut ourselves. We can accidentally hurt somebody else, or we can tear up whatever we're cutting in not a good way. Whereas when we let the weight of the knife do the cutting for us and cut through what God's called it to cut through, all of a sudden the gospel works the way it's supposed to. When we don't try to water down, dilute, or affect the gospel, it cuts the way it's supposed to. But the moment we try to put our own spin on it, try to put our own thing into it, try to adjust it for that person that's hearing it, we mess up what God's called and what he does. So we let that knife cut. It might cut deep. Matter of fact, so deep might cut straight to their heart. And praise God if it does, that's where it's supposed to go. Straight to their heart. So when we battle, we use the word of God. When we fight, that is our spiritual weapon. That is the only weapon we should be using. Not fists, not feet, but we use the word of God when we fight. And when we do these things, we go to war, we go to battle the correct way. That war is won. That battle and the victory we have is secured. This is kind of where I'll close and begin to close this story of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus goes toe-to-toe with the evil one. Goes toe-to-toe with the baddest of the bad, the evilest of the evil, the nastiest of the nasty. He goes toe-to-toe with him in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days, mind you. After fasting 40 days, and it says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Toe-to-toe with the baddest of the bad. It'd be the equivalent of one of us going toe-to-toe with Mike Tyson. And this is how the evil one works. And this is what he does. He probably goes to his demon and says, hey, y'all see Jesus over there? He's weakened. I'm finna go get him. I'm about to go tempt him. He's gonna fall to temptation, and we're gonna win. Check this out. I know he's hungry. I got him. Hey, Jesus, you're the Son of God, right? You got these powers. I know you're hungry. Rocks, bread, do that. You eat, you're good. And Jesus, of course, replies to him, man does not live on bread alone. He fights with the word of God. Even Jesus himself does not fight with his physical attributes as a human. He still uses the word of God. Still uses the word of God. That should tell you something. He was very much God, very much human, and he's still using the scriptures to fight because he knows that is the only way we ought to fight ever. And notice at the beginning, that first verse, the first set of verses, he's called the tempter. But the very next time it says the devil. The devil. So it's like, oh, Jesus is like, I know who this is. I got you. You're the tempter. I know who you are. You're the devil. Okay, let's do this. So then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. It's almost like the devil forgets. Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, fool, I was there whenever you tempted them in the Garden of Eden. This is a rerun. Same thing, I've seen it before. You told Adam and Eve, if you eat that, you're going to be like God. And they were kind of skeptical. Oh, did God really say you couldn't eat from that? Here it comes again. Hey, God does say, if you throw yourself down, the angels save you. So let's go ahead and do that. Jesus is like, brother, I've seen this episode before. I know how it ends. I know what you're doing. You tried to give me the world first. Then you told me, this is, am I sure that God really said this? Now the next thing you're going to do is you're going to give off me everything, and then I fall into temptation. I've seen this before. So, of course, the devil does the next thing. He says, if you just submit to me, all of this will be yours. And, of course, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. In my mind, it's God finally like, you know what? I'm done playing these games. I don't know if you know this, but I can see you. I see right through you. I know that you are the evil one. Ergo, I'm not listening to a word you have to say to me. Our issue is when we get in the same situation, we can't see the evil one. We see red. We see, I've been wronged. I'm about to go get them. I'm going to go say something to them, and they're going to figure out that I'm mad. And when they figure out that I'm mad, they better come and apologize to me and ask for my forgiveness and bow down and worship me. Well, I wouldn't say that, Pastor Savage. That's exactly what you're doing when you demand all those things. You better come here, apologize to me for doing wrong to me. You better make that happen. At that point, you might as well go ahead and say, bow down and worship me. Because that's not how God calls to do it. That's not how God calls to do it. You go to your brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, there's a discrepancy here. Let's talk about it. Let's pray through it. Let's work through this. We have to. Because you're my brother, you're my sister, and we're not going to let that happen. Okay, we can't do it ourselves because we're both human. We're flesh. I get that. Let's bring in somebody else. An objective person who is a minister of the gospel, who is a person of spirit to help us work through this. Okay, all three of us can't do it. I get it. We're all human. We're all flesh. Let's bring in the church. Let's work through this together. And we, the church, cannot let that go down. We can't do that. At that point, we're not making war with the enemy. We're making war with ourselves. And we make war with ourselves, we lose every time. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you fight yourself, whether you win or lose, you lose. When you fight yourself, whether you win or you lose, you lose. It's a constant cycle, constant rotations you can't get off of. It's a hamster wheel. I won. No, you lost. But I won, though. Yeah, but you lost because you're fighting yourself. Likewise, when the body fights itself, we lose. There is no winner. You might be like, well, I got my point across. They submitted to me. Cool. Now we're all dissented and separated, and the evil one is winning, smiling once again. That's not the war God has called us to. God led me to 2 Timothy. It says to fight the good fight of faith. He led me to Joel 3. It said, to rouse the warriors, prepare for war. And that's where I feel like I'm at. That's where I feel like God's kind of called me to in this space. First of all, talking to myself, but second of all, bringing to you, we must rouse ourselves, get hyped up, and get ready for war. That last song, War, just speaks so much to my mind. It's exactly what I want to say. Seated on the throne above, God, I'm ready. I'm riding with Jesus wherever he goes. And that bridge says, lace up your boots. It says it very clearly in the armor of God to get those shoes fastened with readiness, the peace of the gospel. Now, put on your backpack. So people have a problem with this line, and I want to break it down for you. So we were carrying a backpack. We're not carrying burdens. We're not carrying things that God does not want on us. As a matter of fact, when you put on your backpack, you're saying, I'm taking up my cross. The cross you call me to take up daily. I'm going to follow you into battle wherever you go. I'm riding with Jesus wherever he goes. Living and surrendered, this life is not my own. I ride for you. I'm ready. I'm ready. Armor of God has everything covered except for the back. There is no armor on the back for the armor of God. Romans believe that you should not put anything on your back because we were never made to retreat. God, being who he is, took that a step further with us in the gospel, said, yes, actually, I agree with the Romans. You were never made to retreat, so there is nothing covering your back. So if you decide to retreat, you are vulnerable to an attack of the enemy. See, when Romans went in, they made these almost like shield-type tanks. They had their shields all together. They clumped together with their shields, and they had their javelins up top or their swords up top, and they would go push forward into the enemy that way. So they were protected on their front side, and if everybody crowded in, they're protected on all sides because they made a big old circle around everybody and they were fighting the enemy just like that, back to back. See, when we fight back to back, our backs are protected. That's how you watch your neighbor's back. Back to back, fighting the enemy together. Never retreating. There's a story of a Scottish army. It's kind of what the movie Braveheart was based off of, William Wallace. Now, the Scottish king at the time was a mighty king, and he loved his people very much. As a matter of fact, he loved them so much that when they went to battle, he wanted to ride the battle with them every time. And he would sit on a horse, and he would be there in battle, ready to jump in the fight at any time. Well, this king fell ill, and he eventually became bedridden. And in his last dying breaths, he told William Wallace, I want you to, when I pass away, I want you to cut out my heart, and I want you to put it in a canister. I want you to take it with you into battle every time because I want to be in the fight with my army, with my men every single time. So William Wallace, of course, he heeds the dying man's wishes and he has a canister of the king's heart that he wears around his neck for battle. Now, the very next battle, they're on the mountaintop getting ready to go down to the valley to fight the evil one, the enemy. And he says to his people, this canister around my neck contains the heart of your king. And of course, they're getting fired up. Oh, the heart of our king. Yes, we're fired up. Yes, yes, yes. And he pulls it off. And he hurls it at the enemy, behind enemy lines. And I'm sure everybody's shocked. What are you doing? That's the heart of our king. He says, exactly. Now go fight for the heart of your king, behind enemy lines. Go fight for the heart of your king. God is calling us to go and fight for his heart behind enemy lines. Are you willing to go face first, head first, with reckless abandon into the fight and fight the evil one? Well, I'll tell you, you are if you're wearing the full armor of God. If you remember who the evil one is. If you know to remember the tactic, which is worship. Remember the tactic, which is worship. You do all those things, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Stay the course. And the promise of the Lord, the promise is victory. As a matter of fact, the cool thing is the victory's already been won. Remember I said earlier, I hate losing. That's why I'm on this side. We already won. I'm just part of the battle now. I'm part of the battle now, and I'm ready to fight. Because I know at the end of this, we win. It's kind of like having the end of the season of a movie you're watching. I know the ending, and I can't wait to get to it because the ending is going to be so good. And this is one of the best endings ever, and that is that we win. The question is, like the video said earlier, are you in or are you out? There's no between. It's like double dutch. Either you're jumping in or you're staying out. Because if you get confused and you don't want to go in, out, you don't can't figure it out, you're going to get tangled up in that rope and get caught. You get hit by the rope, it's going to smack those ankles. It's not going to feel good. You got to decide right now, are you in or are you out? And if you are in, my prayer is you don't run into battle without putting on the full armor of God, starting with the helmet of salvation. If you don't have the helmet of salvation when you go into battle, you're done. It won't even be close. You're going to not protect your head. You're done. If you don't go into battle without the breastplate of righteousness that can protect your heart, you're in trouble. Go into battle without your shield to stop all those fiery arrows. Eventually, they can pierce. You go into battle without your belt of truth fastened around your waist. You're going to trip yourself up by not walking in the truth. And lastly, if your shoes are not tied up, your boots are not laced up, with the readiness and the peace that comes from the gospel, eventually you're going to lose that shoe. Your feet will be destroyed, and you'll be torn down from the bottom up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to ride with Jesus? Or are you going to stay on the sidelines and watch the fight from afar? I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible is very clear. Either you're with God or you're against God. There's no in between. Well, I'm with God, but you're against God. Well, I want to go with you. You're against God. Either you're with me or you're against me. You can't kind of like me. You can't kind of be in my camp. You can't kind of mess with me. You can't kind of hang out with me here and there. Either you're with me or you're not. And if you're not, you're on the losing side. There's an ending for that losing side too. And unfortunately, I know that ending too. I know that ending too, and it's not a fun one. That ending unfortunately ends with a loss, a defeat. But the worst defeat you've ever had in your life. Not just defeat where, oh, I lost another game. Well, I guess I'll try again. There's no do-over. When that defeat happens, game over. No restart, no reset, no buying more lives. No turn the game off, turn the game back on, and we can get back into it. That's it. Game over forever in a place called hell. I don't tell you that to scare you. I tell you to give it the reality that heaven and hell are both very real, and the reality is that you will go to one or the other, no end. And if you're in this war, fighting on the correct side, on, you're going to a place called heaven when your life ends, when the game's over. But if you don't, if you decide, I don't want to be on that side, I don't want to be on the winning side, I'd rather go do what I want to do, I'd rather go live how I want to live, be where I want to be, hang out who I want to hang out with, you go to a place, unfortunately, called hell, which is separation from God forever. Like I said, no reset, no start overs, no do-overs, no buying extra lives. My prayer is you've joined the fight, you've put on your armor, and you're battling. You said, I want to be on the winning side. If you haven't, here's the beautiful part. It's not too late. I usually hate when people switch sides to the winning side, but in this case, please switch. You see the side over here is winning. Let me go ahead and go on this side because y'all suck. I'm going to be over here with Jesus because I'm not trying to lose. You know those kids when we be playing kickball or something like that or dodgeball, all of a sudden they switch sides. Like, nah, stay on your losing side. That's not the case. Switch sides. Come over here where we're winning. Souls are getting saved. Lives are being redeemed. People being changed. There's mercy, grace, peace, and love for all. Come to this side. It's not too late. As long as you have breath in your lungs and you're walking this earth, it's not too late. But the Bible does say, if you tarry, if you wait, if you linger for too long, you might not ever come. And that would be a sad, sad, sad reality. I tell my students at John 3 all the time, I would hate to get to heaven and not see one of you there, knowing that had an impact or a chance to steer you toward heaven. I would hate to get there and not see you there. I want to say the same thing to you. I'd hate to get to heaven and not see you there. My prayer is you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Because if you haven't, oh, today would be a great day to do that. But today would be a great day to say, I'm going to make war against all the bad things, all the evil things, all the stuff going on in my life that's holding me down, have a stronghold over me. I'm going to make war, go to fight, go to bat, and fight back against those things by giving my life to Jesus Christ this morning, right now, in this moment. Maybe you're in the fight and in the war, but you're like, man, I've been fighting like I should be. I've been swinging that sword of the spirit right because I haven't been training. I haven't been reading it. I need to get back into it. I haven't been walking in righteousness because I've been letting some of these dirty things come back into my life. So my heart's been kind of opened up and vulnerable to an attack. Once again, here's a beautiful thing. You can put that breastplate back on. You can get that sword swinging the right way this morning. You can come get prayer from one of the pastors and ministers here and say, hey, I'm not fighting. I'm not marching. I'm not walking like I should. Can you pray for me? Or like I said, maybe you want to be the one who comes for salvation. I want to get into the fight. I want to make war. I want to be on the winning side. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you need prayer for something else. Sickness, illness, disease, monetary things, your mental health, whatever it is. Let's go make war this morning. Let's fight like God's called us to. Face first, chest first, head first in the battle, and fight against the evil and the schemes of the devil. As I pray, if pastors and ministers would come up front, be ready to receive those who want to come up for prayer. Melody, if you guys will get ready, a song. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to pray. While the song plays, if you guys will come up front, be prepared to receive people to pray for them. And you who God is speaking to right now, don't be ashamed. This is going to be a time of celebration. You want to make war? We want to make war. Come on. We're going to make war together. We're family. Don't be ashamed. Don't be nervous. You come up here and you make war. Let's pray. Father God, thank you this morning for speaking through me. First, for speaking to me about the fight, about this war that we're in. Father God, I pray you help us to fight the battle you've called us to. Help us to fight this war, putting on the full armor, walking with you. Help us, Father God, to be those who are in the fight, upright, walking, trusting you with all things. This morning, anybody who needs salvation, Father God, bring them. Anybody who needs prayer, Father God, you bring them. Stir our hearts, stir our spirits. Give us a conviction to move for you. In your name that I pray, amen.